I want to speak to you this morning about being a disciple. Does anybody know what a disciple is? You do. Anybody know what a disciple is? You know what a disciple is. Everybody knows. Everybody knows what a disciple is this morning. Amen. If you've got your Bibles, you can turn with me to John, the book of John, chapter 20, verse 20. Let's get there. I've got mine marked with post-it notes. I always say that. Post-it notes, greatest invention ever. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, Lord. Just let your words that you want spoken come through me, Lord. I'm just your servant. I'm your vessel this morning. Lord, let your Holy Spirit speak through me. Lord, anoint your word. Your word is living. Lord, let it be applied to our lives. Lord, and we thank you in Jesus' name. It says, after he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Remember that. And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And he goes on to say, I want to read verse 23. It says, if you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. But he said to them, unless I see the nail mark, you know, he goes on, Thomas doubted about that. But my point is this one first point is, peace be with you. Verse 21, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Now Jesus was talking to his disciples that he had been, he had chosen, right? So he had chosen these guys and he called them disciples. Okay, we know them as the disciples. And real quick, I want to go, it's kind of like what Jesus has done here is, it's kind of like a business guy that wants to start a business. And so he flies overseas to a certain area. And he goes into the city and he says, okay, I need some guys to help. So he goes around and he finds 12 guys. He said, I need 12 guys. So he hires 12 guys and he said, okay, I'm going to train you to run my business. I'm going to train you to run my business. And I want you to write everything down that I tell you. I'm going to write it all down. And then, because I'm not going to be with you forever. I'm going to stay with you for about 3 years and I'm going to teach you all these things. And when I leave, I'm going to leave you this manual and this book, and I want you to follow it and run my business like I told you. That's what I want you to do. And so he does that. He takes them all over the countryside, all over the city, and he teaches them, and he trains them, and he shows them how he wants his business run. And he said, this is the way I want you to do it. And so he said, but remember, I'm going to be leaving. And so then he finally, you know, after all this, he chooses one guy out of the group that he figures will be, you know, more faithful, maybe the guy that's going to be kind of in control. And so he does that. He gets that guy established. And then he leaves. Okay? And that's kind of like what Jesus really did. And so now, you know, he left those 12 guys. But there was more. But he left his disciples there to run his business. And I think about that and I thought, well, you know, how's that go along with the church? How's that go along with me? Well, we are disciples. Because those disciples, see, that was the start of the church. Jesus was establishing the church with those disciples. And so Jesus only ministered in a certain, around Israel. But then when he said, here's what he said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. So that was what he told them to do. You're going to go out. You're going to do this. They're the disciples, okay? And kind of, you know, Matthew 28. We can look at Matthew 28 real quick. I'm trying to get through this really quick this morning. Matthew 28, verse 18. It says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything, remember what I was talking about, everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the end of the age. So Jesus is commission, what he told his disciples to do was go and make disciples, basically. So throughout the years, thousands of years, that's where we come from, right? Because somebody made a disciple. You know, somebody, a disciple made another disciple, and another disciple made another disciple. And so that's what we're supposed to be doing. So what does a disciple look like? Have we kind of got away from the understanding of what really a disciple is supposed to look like? And sometimes, you know, I look at different churches and the way they, you know, look and talk to different people and how they act. And I think, you know, really, are we truly disciples? Are we truly doing what God showed us to do, told us to do? He left us a book. He left us all this right here. This is what we're supposed to do. And he said, now I'm going to go and I won't be here, but do what I told you to do and run my business the way I told you to run it. I'll be back one of these days. And when I come back, he also says, when I come back, you know, what would a boss do if he come back and found that the guy that he hired didn't do his job the right way? You ever think about that? As a business owner, what would you do? I know what my boss would do if he come back and found that I wasn't doing my job right. I probably wouldn't have a job anymore. Now, that sounds kind of serious, but yet, you know, Jesus is, he made comments like that in his word. He made parables like that to his disciples. If I come back and I find that you haven't done what you told me, what I've told you to do, then I'll judge you on that. That's not for me to judge. That's not for the disciples to judge. And we're going to go into that this morning. What is a true disciple? I've got 5 points this morning. The first thing is missional. Missional. Are we missional? What's that mean? Where's my phone? I lost my phone. It's here somewhere. It doesn't matter. Missional. What's that mean? Are we going out? Are we doing stuff? Is our desire to get out and talk with people? That's what missional is. Are you missional? These things I want you to look at as an individual, but also we can look at it as a church in a whole. But the first thing is, you know, we have to look at ourselves and say, am I missional? Is my desire to get out? Is this what I'm supposed to do? Because that's what Jesus said. He told this right here, the Great Commission is, part of that word is mission. In the commission, that's where that word comes from when you want to break it all out. The Great Commission was, he told his disciples, which is, if he told his disciples to do that and they trained their people to do that and through the years, then that's what we're supposed to be doing, is we're supposed to be going out and making new disciples, right? So I look at myself and said, am I doing that? Am I missional? Okay? And so I look at myself first, because I can't pull the beam out of my eye or speck out of my brother's eye unless I pull the beam out of mine, right? So I look at myself first and I say, am I missional? Am I engaging in people's lives every day? Am I? Okay, that's the first thing. You think about that on yourself, because I'm not bringing judgment on anybody. This is a personal relationship. This is a thing that you do. But what you do as a disciple and as a member of the church reflects the church. What you do as a member of this church reflects the church and affects, two words, reflect and effects the church. Okay? So remember that when you look at yourself. So the first thing is missional, okay? The one point I want to bring out is what Jesus did in John. John, he says he breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit. The first thing is you cannot do anything as a disciple if you don't have the Holy Spirit with you, period. You have to have the power of the Holy Spirit with you no matter where you go and what you're doing, or you cannot be effective as a disciple. That's what the word says. What does breathe mean? He breathed on them. You know how powerful the breath of God is. He said he breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit. When you look back in Genesis 1, and when he created man, what did he do when he created man? He breathed on him and he got life. See, so the breath of God creates life. And without that within us, when we go out, we have no power to bring disciples. We have no strength. And that brings life to people. The Word of God brings life to people. Amen? And so we have to remember that. It's what birthed the church. This right here, what we're talking about. this beginning. This is what birthed the church. And I mean, being filled with the Holy Spirit is all through the Scripture. We can find all kinds. You know, John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth, you know, John jumped in Elizabeth's womb. She was filled with the Holy Spirit. Zechariah needed the power of the Holy Spirit on him before he could do what he did. Peter, when he received the Holy Spirit out of his first message that he preached brought 3,000 people to salvation. Wow. 3,000. I mean, I can't even imagine that. I really can't. I mean, that just blows my mind to think that one message he gets up and preaches and 3,000 people come to Christ. I mean, how awesome would that be? You know, I would love, I mean, that would be an awesome day. That would be an awesome day. And, Ananias laid hands on Paul. Paul needed the Holy Spirit before he could start his ministry. You remember? When he was knocked off his horse and he was blind and he went to Ananias' house, before he could ever start his ministry, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. So we find that that is important, okay, and we have to be missional. It was number one. Missional was number one, but without the Holy Spirit, none of the five things that I'm going to tell you without the Holy Spirit works. The second thing is accountable. We have to be accountable. Now, what's accountable, Stan? I mean, what's that mean? I look at myself every day. We have to look at ourselves every day. Paul said, I die daily. I've used that many times, that scripture many times. But we have to be accountable. Ask yourself these questions. Have you spent time in the Word? Have you spent time reading your scripture? You got to know the Word. If you're going to be a good disciple, you have to know the Word. If you're going to do your job right at wherever you work, if you don't know what you're doing, how are you going to do your job? So it's important to know what you're doing, right? Well, that's what the Word's for. So that you know what to do. And so, have you spent time in the Word? Number two, have you shared the gospel with anybody? Have you taken time to share the gospel with anybody? Number three, have you spent time in prayer? Which I think prayer is more important than any of the others. Prayer life should be beyond anything else. You know, is that important? And I think the church has gotten away with that, or away from that, from taking time to pray. Not only pray individually at home, but praying with each other. You know, as a church body, coming together and praying and taking time to pray. Because without prayer, you know, that's how we get answers from God. That's how we communicate. We have to be in communication with the Father. We can't be lazy about that. It just doesn't happen, right? I mean, we have to communicate. Everything that's done is done through prayer. Jesus said once, he told his disciples when they couldn't cast out a demon in an individual, he said, some things cannot be done without prayer and fasting. Okay? I could say fast in there, but some people were like, fast? I don't, what is it? You know, there's a lot of people I talk to that's never fasted before. And they've been Christians for a long time. They've been in a church for a long time and they've never fasted. And I know some people have health issues and sometimes that restricts them from fasting. But Jesus didn't say, oh, if you get time, fast. Or maybe once in a while, fast. He said, fast. He said, when you fast. These are the words he used. When you fast. So it's important. It is important. It's not easy, but it is important. Paul fasted. Jesus fasted. Jesus fasted for 40 days. I can't imagine a 40-day fast. I know a couple people, a couple pastor friends of mine that have fasted for 40 days. Incredible. Incredible. But fasting is important. Have you done anything? Now, here's a good one. Have you done anything that broke God's commandments? Have you done anything that went against God's word? I ask that, you know, we're all sinners. Every one of us. Every one of us are sinners. We struggle against temptation, okay? Now, I talked about that last week, about the difference between struggling with sin. In other words, you're struggling, you got sin in your life, and you're struggling with it. And that's why he said, get rid of all that. You know, Hebrews 12 said, just shed off all that baggage that holds you back, get rid of that. And there's a difference between struggling with sin and struggling against it. Because when we all struggle against it, because we have all, Satan's going to be here until Jesus comes, right? We know that. So we're always going to struggle against things because he's always going to be throwing things at you. He's always going to be tempting you about certain things. And, you know, that's just the way it is. That's the way it is. So we can struggle against it or we can struggle with it. I don't want to struggle with sin in my life. So anytime something comes up, I want it gone. You know, forgive me, Lord, if I've done anything today. That's why our Lord's Prayer says that. If I've went against somebody, forgive me. I don't want to do that. If I've trespassed, Lord, forgive me. You know, and I forgive my brother. That's another one. You know, if you've got grudges or if you've got stuff against somebody else, one of your brothers, it says your Heavenly Father won't forgive you. If you hold that against them, you can't be a strong disciple if you've got stuff like that in your life. You just can't. And so these are the things we have to look at. We have to look at ourselves and say, Lord, is this me today? And you know, this message is not to bring judgment on anybody. It's to encourage you. Because we all deal with these things. We all deal with it. And we have to deal with it, okay? So every day we get up and we say, okay, I got to be accountable to myself. No, we have to be accountable to Him because He's the one we serve. If you say you're a Christian and you claim that you serve Him, then you're a servant of Him. You're a disciple. And so we have to be accountable to Him, not accountable to me, not accountable to your neighbor. I mean, in some ways... But we're mostly accountable to Him and to His Word because He's our boss. He's our boss. And He's promised us such great things, great blessings. I think about these things. So those are the things that we are accountable for as a disciple. And the third thing is, are we reproducible? I mean, I hope that there's no one else like me. God forbid that. But that's not the intention. That's not what I'm saying. Reproducible means, are we who we say we are? In other words, are we who we say we are? I mean, if we're a disciple, are we truly a disciple? In other words, okay? And can that be reproduced? In other words, if we're going out and we're sharing the Word, and we want to make disciples. If we're a disciple making a disciple, it's kind of like a cell dividing, okay? A cell divides and makes another cell, and then that cell divides and makes another cell, and it just continues to grow. Make sense? Jesus told us to be fruitful and multiply. It's in our design. We're supposed to multiply. So are we reproducible? I mean, are we the person that God would want to say, I need, you know, in a business world, I'll say this because I'm going back to this business thing again. I have seen, there's guys that I've had work for me, and then I've heard my boss, and I've heard many other people say, man, if I had five guys like that guy, you know, there's always that one guy, you know. There's always that one guy that just seems like, man, if I had five of him, you know, I wouldn't need those other 20. Because those five guys that could do everything I needed them to do. Is that the person you are with God? Is that the person you are with Christ? And that's what I mean by that. Are you reproducible? Are you somebody that Christ says, man, I wish I had 10 of him, or I had 5 of him, because I could, you know, this world would not have any problems at all. That's my point. John 14:12 mentions that. Let's see, where's that at? John 14:12. John 14:12, real quick here. It said, very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified. That's the part I wanted to read. He said, you will do greater things than I did. I mean, that's a pretty important part. That's a pretty important thing. I want to go on because I'm trying to get through this quickly. Are you communal? What I mean by that, are we a community? Are we a family? That's what the church is, right? When we come together as a body of Christ, we're a family, right? That's what I like. I love this atmosphere of having friends. Not only friends, but I can call you my family. I can call you my brothers and sisters. And, you know, I know we've kind of gotten away with that, calling each other brother and sister, which we used to do that. You know, that was just what people did. Brother, sister, so-and-so, sister Betty, you know, brother Mitchell. I mean, I go through all these things. That's just the way, that's how we talk to each other. But it was a family. It's a family. It's a communal thing. Are you a part of the community? You know, there's a lot of people who just come to church and they go home, but yet they're disconnected from the community. They're not really a part of it. They come, but they're really not a part of it. Does that make sense to you? Are you a part of the family? Do you want to be connected to the family? Do you want to be? Because that's the body of Christ. You know, we're all going to heaven. If you're a believer and you're saved, you got Christ, we're going to the big family reunion in the sky. We're all going to be together. We're not going to be all in separate little hotel rooms on our little own, you know, little vacation somewhere. Right? I mean, we're going to be one big family in heaven. So it is a community, you know. And if we can't do that here, if we feel disconnected here from our family, what are we going to feel like if we're, I mean, what's that mean for us? You know, I'm just saying, you know, the community, what it is we're reunited around one common interest. We have one common interest. We share one common destination. And we have one common purpose. We have one common purpose. That purpose is to make disciples. Because that's what Jesus asked us to do. You know, and that's part of being a family. We work together. We should operate together as a family. We love each other as a family. It doesn't make it easy. Because there's just some people it's hard to get along with, right? Just being honest. You know, we don't always agree with each other. That doesn't mean that we can't get along. It just means that sometimes we don't always agree with each other. That's normal. That's common. That's family. But that's also, there's a lot of, you know, we have one purpose. When we stay focused on our destination and our purpose, then none of that other stuff matters. See, and that's the issue. Sometimes we get off and we start focusing on, just like I talked about with Peter getting out of the boat, at the end of that story, Peter started singing because he started focusing on other stuff. Instead of, he took his eyes off Christ. So we got to focus on, the common interest that we have as a church, and the common destination that we have, which is heaven, which is where we're going to go, if we stay the course and stay a happy community. I just say that. I don't know. Our purpose is to be unified with Christ. That is our purpose. Are you unified with Christ? And see, look at yourself with this. Just don't, you know, this is, I look at myself first, like I said. And as a church, if we're all doing that, if we're all accountable to ourselves, if we're all applying these five things in our life, then the body of Christ will be better and stronger and more unified if each one of us is doing what we're supposed to be doing and keeping ourselves on top of it. But we also have friends and family to help us with those things. And that's what I love about the family. The family can be there. You know, John 13:24 says, love one another. This is directed to the church, okay? Romans 12:16 says, be in agreement with one another. Romans 15:7 says, accept one another. Romans 15:14 says, instruct one another. Romans 16:16 says, greet one another. Galatians 5:13 says, serve one another. Amen? Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another. Ephesians 5:21 says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Colossians 3:16 says, admonish one another and build each other up. Amen? That's what we do, right? Amen? James 5:16 says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. Now, that's a hard one right there, isn't it? We don't want anybody to know what we've done. But I'm telling you, The Scripture says it's beneficial to us to confess our sins with one another. We pray for each other. We love each other. We build each other up. We don't tear each other down. Why? Because if we're tearing each other down, what's it do? It hurts the body, right? And when it hurts the body of Christ, it hurts Christ. Because it's not beneficial. 1 Peter 4:9 says, be hospitable to one another. That's the last one. But these five principles, I think if we can just look at ourselves every day with these five principles in mind, I think it will make us better. It makes me, I apply this to my life every day. I've been part of an accountability group where we'd meet together and we would share these things and we would talk about different problems that we have. And I think it's so important that a church does that. But these, like I said, if we can just look at these things and apply these to our life, I think it'll make us stronger and better. And it's, you know, God is so good to us. I mean, what happened here this morning, I just love it when the church comes together as a family and prays for each other. And I think it pleases God when He sees that. He wants us to be a family, but He also wants us to do our job and be good disciples for Him. And this will help us to be better disciples for Him. And at this time, I've got one more. I said five. I only did four, didn't I, Sister Betty? She's keeping me on top of it. I was getting my mind off of it because I'm trying to get in a hurry. The last thing is scriptural. We have to be scriptural. We have to be right in the Word. And how important is the Word? The Word is, you know, the Word, it raises, what am I trying to say? It's the center of everything. The Word is the center of everything. Without the Word, we have nothing. Because who was the Word? There we go. In John, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was what? Everybody can quote that, right? In the beginning was the Word, right? So we have to be scriptural. Through all, you know, that in all things that we do, we have to be correct and we have to be right with what the Word says, okay? That's why He wrote this manual. He said, don't take a word away. Don't add a word to it. It's that important. We have to be correct. And we have to be, it consists, the Word consists of these things. It consists of faith. It consists of worship. It consists of community. And it consists of action. And that's what this Word, when you read the Scripture, that's what it consists of. I'm going to say it again because it's so good. It just hit me. It consists of faith. It consists of worship. It consists of community. And it consists of action. And those things are applied. This right here is what we learn to do. And this is what we should do as a church. Look at this as a church. Is the church faithful? Does the church worship? Worship is so important. Worship is as important as prayer. God loves to hear His people worship Him. He does. It's all through the Scripture. From the beginning to the end, God loves to hear His people worship Him. He loves us to be a community. He wants us to be unified. He talks about that in the apostles and the epistles. He wants us to be unified as a church. And He wants to be a church in action, not a church in inaction. He wants His church to be active. Amen. And that's, I mean, I don't want else to say here this morning. Are you a disciple? Look at yourself and answer that question this morning. Are you a disciple?